Welcome to Scream Kings. Oh, let's talk about cannibal movies.
Welcome to a special edition of Comment Lounge. We've got the original lineup here, the Scream Kings, and we are excited to talk about cannibal movies today. I am Andy.
I am Paul.
I'm me.
And there we go.
Yes, make sure to, I'll link our Instagrams down below. We have a, please join us in the comments section below. Make sure to like and subscribe and follow along. We will also have a letterboxed list of the movies that we have discussed today. Today we are focusing on classic cannibal movies from the 70s and 80s, the tribal savage versus colonizer era. Starting with, the classic is A Man from Deep River. That's the first one that really kind of kicked it off. And one of the aspects I love about cannibal movies is it also birthed the found footage. And one of my favorite movies that really got me into horror we've talked about is Blair Witch Project. And we would not have movies like Blair Witch Project and Paranormal Activity and things like that if it wasn't for the popularity of Cannibal Holocaust. So what are some of the found footage movies that you like, and what are some of the aspects of found footage that you like?
Go ahead, Josh.
No.
Oh, gosh, I got to go. I guess I go back to the original Cannibal Holocaust, which actually caused a huge stir because people thought it was real. And that was one of the things that I remember when I saw it back in the late 80s. I was in college, and it seemed so real because it was like this found footage with these people watching the movie. And it kind of affected me a little bit until I read up on the movie and found out what was actually happening, you know, behind the scenes, which, you know, I thought was very, very interesting. The guy went to court.
So when you talk about realism, to me, that's the thing I love about found footage is convince me it's real. Right. Where you get that feeling like, oh, this is, there are stakes. Like if it's actors and special effects, you're like, okay, my brain can be like, whatever peril they're in, they'll be fine. Right. This actor's gonna be fine. When you think it's real, you're like, oh my God.
And I think that, especially with Cannibal Holocaust, it was the cutting where they cut from, you know, obviously from somebody, you know, being attacked by the cannibals.
Right.
And then going to like the gore. It was done so well and so fast that your brain couldn't recognize what was what. And that at the time, you know, I can identify it now.
Right.
But at the time I was like, whoa.
Right.
You know.
And I'm going to say this. I'm a big proponent of nudity in movies. And one of the things we argue back and forth, what is essential, what is integral to the art of the movie? The fact that you've got naked people running around in Cannibal Holocaust. You're like, oh, this is real. This is not actors.
So you think nudity actually adds to the realism?
The nudity of this one.
Okay.
In particular. Because you're like, oh my goodness. All these people are naked, right? And it's because of National Geographic. We were raised that civilized people wear clothes and actors who are civilized people would not be naked, right? And so the nudity and the violence together are like, oh shit. Because if this was actors, they would have been more constructive in covering up bits and pieces there. They didn't.
That's true. Yeah.
And so all audiences around the world love seeing naked people on screens, right? Like that is something that works. But this has that added benefit of putting you into a seat of terror or a mindset of this is real because
it helps establish the whole idea of the movie. Plus it establishes the location and establishes the circumstances.
The stakes.
Right.
These are real. And so it's a real danger.
Right.
And so that's the found footage aspect, I think, really played into it. There's lots of cannibal movies that we'll talk about, but that found footage aspect really kind of made that realism and danger heightened.
Right.
Joshua, did you have anything else to say about found footage movies?
I like Hell House.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those are really good. And REC?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, I think, to me, that kind of, that defined the modern found footage.
Mm-hmm. And VHS.
And VHS.
Yeah.
So those are, I like those. It's funny, when I saw Blair Witch in the theater, there were some people behind me that were complaining.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I thought this was real. This was an internet hoax.
Right.
Oh.
So they went into it thinking it's real. And my thought is, you're going into it thinking this is real.
Right.
So you're paying to be entertained by people actually getting
hurt
and killed.
Right.
Right.
So what does that say about you?
Right.
Yeah. Agreed. One of the things I want to point, I'm glad that you brought up Hell House and Rec and VHS. One of the things about those and Blair Witch is that it just, here's the footage. There is no actor saying, here's some footage we found, which Cannibal Holocaust did do.
It did do.
There's
that,
a whole
yes.
movie before they get to the footage.
Right.
And I think by today's audiences, if you're going to sell us on found footage, it's got to be, look, here's the footage, right? Like Poughkeepsie tapes had some behind the scenes interviews, but otherwise VHS is here it is. And you know, Hell House, here it is. There's not the chance to be like, you know, your suspense of disbelief is not challenged between one to the other. And I think that's the power of Blair Witch, was they're just like one title card, right?
Right.
Here's the footage that we found. That was it.
Now, what I liked with Hell House was when they came out with the second one,
uh-huh.
which was the documentary
which was, yeah.
of Hell House. So they did do that, but
right.
you already had that world established.
Right.
And so now you're like, oh, okay, this was good found footage. And then it's, oh, this is a documentary on
right.
the events
right.
that happened. Whoa, this is kind of cool.
That's a great way to do a sequel.
Yeah.
Without
yep.
rehashing the first one or totally blowing it out. I did like that. But I did like that the first Hell House was just literally,
yeah.
here's the footage.
Yep.
And it got me in. And I loved their, I'll call it a formula, but it's like, you look this way, okay. You look that way, fine. You come back and now it's like terrifying, right?
Because something in the back.
Super easy to do.
Yeah.
But God, it works.
Yep.
And when they
it
get
does.
You,
it
they
does.
Get you. So that's something, that's the found footage aspect that we credit Cannibal Holocaust for inventing. But the danger aspect, that's the other thing I love about cannibal movies. And we've talked about this a little bit. When I go camping, I'm not worried that there is a hockey masked murderer gonna slice me up. When I fall asleep, I don't think Freddy's gonna actually slice me. You know, there's very rarely am I scared to death. But if I were traveling over the rainforest
into an unknown territory,
there's a 1% chance the cannibals, I could interact with an uncommunicated tribe that decides to torture and eat me, right? Like, it is real. It's they're walking this earth, right? Or at least that's... Okay, there's a fantastic documentary called
The Mission.
I might correct that. And it's the guy that went to the uncommunicated tribe.
Oh, North Sentinel Island?
Yeah, Sentinel Island, and he tried bringing Bibles and got speared. Like, absolutely killed.
I don't think he got eaten, though.
I don't know if he was eaten. We don't know what happened to him. He did not come back. He absolutely
because if you look at it, what a lot of the social science and the anthropologists show is that
right.
when there is cannibalism in the real world in tribes and things like that,
right.
it's they're not doing it as a, ooh, these people have come in. All right, we meat's back on the menu, boys.
Right.
It's more of a spiritual.
It's a spiritual thing,
yeah.
or
right.
you're absorbing their energy. So somebody coming in as a
interloper, right? I mean,
yeah, and being like,
he's bringing something different.
I'm bringing you Bibles. Like, get out of our way. We're gonna kill
right.
you. They're not gonna then be like, all right, well, let's dig in.
Right.
You know.
And
so
I didn't assume that the Sentinelese chomped and ate him. The chomping and eating is more, I think, a symbol. These movies are about a primal element of Earth, real human beings, capable of a violence and torture that we think that we don't do because we're civilized, right?
Right, right, right.
And a lot of times that's the theme. I'm the civilized guy, but I'm also the colonizer, right? And you're burning down the villages or you're wiping out somebody's culture. And so I love that these movies use that format of here's the column A savage, here's the column B savage, but it depends on what column you're in, what you view the others. And those themes have been, and it's a good, nice light theme. You know, you don't really like to do homework. You know, it's like a misconception, right? And when you point a finger, there's four or three point right back at you, right? So I love that these movies can embrace that theme. I see, you know, cannibalism is considered the worst of the worst. It's one of those natural laws, like even animals don't typically break the cannibalism rule. I know that praying mantises will eat after mating, and some animals eat their young if they need to, but that's not like they wake up in the morning and like my survival is based on eating my own kind. Usually there's separations.
Okay.
And that's why we as people consider cannibalism to be like the worst of the worst. because everybody's got to eat, right? But you got to eat your own kind. Like, you've made a choice. And so I feel like cannibalism comes into that as part of that tribal element, is that, okay, they're bad because they beat us up and take our canoe, but then they're going to eat you. Right, like that makes it.
They take our canoe. That's like
hilarious. I'm trying here.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yes, yes you are.
Yes, you are trying.
I'm trying.
You're very definitely trying.
Very trying. So that's one of the reasons why I love cannibal movies. I love the actual danger that it's tickling part of my brain. I feel like this is a legit danger. I am more scared of cannibals than I am of the Terrifier clown or Chucky. Right, like that's fun. It's okay. Fun to watch some blood and gore, but cannibalism's. Movies give me the blood and gore, but also a little bit more of that. Oh, hey, you know,
it's a little forbidden. It's verboten.
Yeah, yeah. And this could be more possible than 0%. You know, so that's where I'm at with cannibal movies. And I indulged. I went full in. I love this movie, Green Inferno. I don't know if you've both seen Green Inferno.
Oh yeah.
Eli Roth loves Cannibal Holocaust and Cannibal Ferox and all those. So Green Inferno is his love letter to all cannibal movies. And what I love is when we've watched homage movies or remakes, it's got to bring something new to the table, right? You can't be like, remember this? Remember that? That gets old. And good for you. You know, good for you.
For doing this throwback.
You reference something to remember, but what are you doing to improve it?
Right.
And I think with Green Inferno, Eli Roth effectively said, here's what cannibal movie. This is what I liked about cannibal movies.
But let's how I can improve it.
I can improve it. I can fix it.
So what was the one thing you think he improved in the most? Because I got my own opinion on this.
So I thought his tale, the morality tale, was a little bit more on point.
Yes.
And a little bit more layered. So there was the basic layering of, we think they're savages, but to them we're bad.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. But also he threw in that eco-terrorism protest.
Right.
Where people think we are doing the ultimate good. We are like virtue signaling to other people. And then that got rolled into it seamlessly. Right. I thought that was fantastic. That it made it a little bit more current. People, this movie is 10, 15 years old now.
Yes.
But still, eco-terrorism and protesting and social justice is a big part of it. And so I thought that it's more relative to today's audiences than an older movie. So I loved that. The violence was CG. You know, but another thing he fixed was, I thought it was just as effective as any cannibal movie. And there was no animals harmed.
Well, like, that was one of the big problems with Holocaust.
There were CG animals, and he worked with, and he's also a member of PETA. Like, he is a card-carrying member of PETA for the last 20 years. So he's like, look, this is a fun aspect of these types of movies. I want to acknowledge that, but we're going to do it safely. So you get the enjoyment of a movie, but without actual things suffering for it. So we improved that. And also, I thought that, you know, the tribes were, I watched the commentary, and the tribes were real indigenous people. They scouted out a couple different tribes, and they found folks that were amicable to saying, okay, we're not used to cameras and PAs and set directors and boom mics and things like that. But I liked hearing how they work together. And there's been rumors and comments that Cannibal Holocaust and some of the other ones, when they used indigenous people, it was very exploitative because they didn't know anything. They didn't speak the language. They would do it for pennies on the dollar. It sounded like Eli Roth did everything possible to pay homage to these movies, but have no sins attached.
Okay.
That's what I feel
like.
And
from what I understand, the people thought that they were making a comedy.
Yeah.
They thought it was a comedy because it was just so wild and outrageous.
Right. Yeah.
And unrealistic, which I think is kind of funny.
That is kind of funny, actually. That's very funny. The one thing I really enjoyed, really sunk me in, not just the environment, it was the costumes.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, before, like in Cannibal Holocaust, you had a lot of people that were like almost dressed as cavemen.
Right.
Like how the old idea of cavemen.
Jungle Holocaust is really.
Yeah. Right. But this was more like, I mean, you know, like, makeup that was looked like it could have been right out of, you know, Primitive New Guinea or something like that.
Yeah.
It was so well done, and just the culture that I actually kind of touched upon with the tribe was like really fleshed out pretty well. That's one of the things that really brought me in.
Yeah.
And I felt the gore was really spot on fantastic. It was like so effective, I was like, Jesus, you know? Go back to the original Cannibal Holocaust.
The found footage aspect allowed them to have like one stationary camera.
Right.
Whereas like another movie would show you this angle so you could see the arrow piercing this. We don't get that because this is a one camera handheld operation, but it worked. And that added to the realism. But so I feel like they got away with special effects that a traditional two or three camera setup in a studio would not have been able to effectively betray, you know? And so the found footage, not only are you kind of in the mood,
right,
but you are perfectly okay not getting all of the information and then thus filling in the holes. I was referencing the impalement part.
I was waiting for that.
I'm going to put up a scene, but it's going to be very heavily censored because of YouTube. Yikes. But the other thing about Cannibal Holocaust that I love is that that's the movie, because it's stomach-turning to people with the, and I'm going to say, it's implied animal cruelty.
Implied.
Yeah. So I got this book. It's called Spaghetti Nightmares. And there's an interview with Diodato in there. And basically, he did have animal rights people with him in 1980. And he says, okay, this is coming from this book. I was not there. He says every single animal kill was something that the tribe did that they always do every day to hunt. He just filmed it.
He
never said, hey, here's an animal, kill this one while I'm rolling.
In other words, they were hunting and he would film it and integrate it into the story.
Are you going to do this? I would like to film it.
Well, it's kind of like what Coppola did with Apocalypse Now.
You mean the bull?
Yeah.
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 That was the same thing. I mean, that was a ritual. That was a thing that was happening that they filmed.
Right.
So it wasn't just kill for kill's sake. That animal was used for...
Right.
Additional things.
And I would say, you, the audience, and please feel free to you know, go nuts in the comments. A lot of people have very strong feelings about the animal cruelty that's depicted in Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, yeah.
And that's you're welcome to that. I'm not going to argue and say you're wrong, but I am going to say there was quite a bit of hype that they wanted you to buy into. That was part of the marketing.
Right.
I said, this is so shocking. You're kind of, you're free to be shocked. But I don't think it's quite as sinful as it really was. And so, yes, I think the movie would be just as good without any of the animal cruelty, right? There's a cut on most of the DVDs where you can say, I want no animal cruelty. And I think the movie would be just as powerful, right? So I'm not saying it has to be there. But I'm also saying I'm a big, huge fan of Discovery Channel's Naked and Afraid. And we watch them kill and skin animals all the time for Survivor. And these are white people that were airdropped into a private land that they didn't belong in, and they hunt and kill animals for survival. And it's, I'm like, okay with that. That's the challenge that we're watching. I see it as almost the exact same thing. But the thing I love about Cannibal Holocaust is because of that, like, oh, I'm uncomfortable with this, and oh, didn't you hear the director got arrested, and didn't you hear this? This movie has this clout or
ambiance,
no, the cult quality, you know, of being so bad. You know, it's like, can you watch this? Can you sit through it? It's like a ghost pepper of movies, right? So you don't watch Cannibal Holocaust every time you fly on a plane, right? But you know, every now and then, you're like, hey, let's get some. You know, let's test our limits. Let's watch something that's like watching Hot Wings.
It's the Faces of Death of cannibal movies.
Yeah. Yes. Which isn't there cannibalism in Faces of Death?
Probably in one of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure
yeah.
there is.
There's that orgy scene where they're eating people. This is our body. This is for us.
Oh, that God, that's right. That wasn't.
So this is the point where we're going to rank and talk about some of the other cannibal movies.
Okay.
Before we film this episode, the boys and I sat down. We watched my second favorite, which is Amazonia. That's this one. It came out I wrote down all these dates, 1985. And this movie has the distinction. It is your classic... tribal, you know, stuck in the Amazon, you know, the indigenous people come and get you. But there's actually a twist. There's like a cool twist. It's a plot twist that was like, oh, hey.
Where did this come from? Yeah.
And so I love that. I love that. Yes, you've got all the things you want. There is crazy nudity. There's crazy violence. There's crazy danger. There's bad guys and good guys. And that's usually where these movies kind of leave you, right? And maybe a little bit of morality tale. But this one had a crazy plot twist.
That actually engaged you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was that's fantastic.
Yeah. I thought it was really good.
So Amazonia, it's also called White Slave, is my like number two as far as if you only have so much space on your shelf or so many hours in your day, Amazonia would be the next one to watch. That's my opinion.
I liked that one because there was more of a story,
mm-hmm.
and you saw a progression of characters. It wasn't
just... There was development, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it wasn't just, you know, these people show up and they're going to film these, you know, uncivilized people and then crazy right. things happen. It was the crazy stuff happens first.
Right.
And then it gets peppered throughout. But right. you're seeing this progression of integration, not on the way that you normally see it on a colonizer type of
right.
scale.
Right, right.
But the reverse of that.
Right. Agreed. Agreed.
And so I thought it,
yeah.
it did a good job of kind of flipping the idea on its head with the genre.
Right. And I'm going to do one more callback to your point about essential nudity. Is she's a white as they come, privileged young woman, finds herself in this terrible situation, is brutalized and dehumanized, becomes a member of the tribe, and then things happen. And there's a point where she has an opportunity to re-enter civilization. And it's when she walks down the hallway and there's a fire extinguisher on the wall and there's tiling and fluorescent lights and she's still topless. And it's kind of like, screw you. I am not part of this world anymore that is clothed. I am part of this jungle and this is the person that I am that's naked. And so it's completely essential nudity right there. I think we're all in agreement.
Whose point was that?
It was your point. I was helping... And she had two points. And so I'm thinking...
No.
All right. But I thought that was beautiful. I paused it and rewound it so I could watch that part again. It's in my notes.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
I just...
So those are my favorite. Do you guys have any of the other ones you absolutely love that you want to point out? Because I've got some bad ones.
Well, no. The one bad one you're going to talk about is the one you gave me.
If you want a bad one that's a lot of fun, Cannibal Terror is... The one that has, it's like somebody's backyard, and it's a bunch of white guys in brown face, and it's just awful. Somebody loved cannibal movies, wanted to make a cannibal movie, but had no budget for travel, and had no indigenous actors. But it's so bad, it's almost MST3K level bad. So this one's enjoyable. But then you get, this is the worst one, and the slipcover has nudity on it, this one does not. White Cannibal Queen. Has some of the same scenes as Cannibal Terror. They shared.
It's like this
one's worse.
I don't think I've seen this.
That one, it's not good.
That's probably why I haven't seen it.
I had a lot of, there's no plot. I didn't like that one. I thought it was garbage.
I thought you were going to mention Jungle Holocaust.
Okay, so Jungle Holocaust is important. Jungle Holocaust is very important to this stack because it is by Diodato, who did Cannibal Holocaust. But he did this one first. I don't love this one. I mean, it's a lot of dong. There, I'm going to say it. It's a lot of dong.
And that's, yeah.
And which is why I thought he would absolutely...
I thought he'd, really enjoy it.
He would go nuts for it.
No,
you son of a gun.
I thought he'd swallow that movie whole.
I don't know how many...
But apparently it was hard for him to watch.
There's a lot of jokes. I don't know if these are all going to make it to the final cut.
Maybe but just the tip of them.
Right. So...
Don't shaft all my jokes.
May Lay... I know there's some shortcomings here. I'm gonna have to give you guys pinballs and just cut straight to that, zip up and get out of here. Jungle Holocaust it's fine. It's a lot of torment. It's a guy getting beat up a lot.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the plot elements, like the fun plot elements, aren't fleshed out. And then
I think they're fleshed out.
Yeah. There's a flesh, all right.
So it was, but I think it was like an important step. You know, we have this movie to get to others. I'll recognize that was, Diodato's first cannibal one. But one of the interesting ones I really like talking about is Eaten Alive, which also has May Lay. And it was, this one came out. I want to make sure I get the dates right. Eaten Alive came out in 1980. This is very inspired by the Jonestown Massacre in 1978. So I was impressed because to me, right? I know I'm the young one here. I was born in 1977. So the whole Jonestown and popularity of cannibal movies both happened before I was consciously picking movies, right? So I'm watching Eaten Alive, and I'm like, damn, that is totally about Jonestown, right? Because there's a enigmatic white religious leader in a jungle setting, and he's got both, and it's this crazy thing. And then I looked it up and was like, wow, Jonestown was out in 78.
Yes, it was.
And then this came out like 18 months later.
Yep.
And so I was very impressed. That's like South Park level quickness.
Well,
in being inspired and
right. Turning something around.
Now, the thing is, I believe, I hate my eyeballs. Who
good thing you're not a
photographer. Oh, Lenzi. Umberto Lenzi did this one.
Who says he's a photographer?
I know. Well, that's why I got the little.
He thinks he's.
Yeah. Okay. Umberto Lenzi directed this. Umberto Lenzi had clout. And so he's like, hey, I think he was under contract to make several movies. And so it's kind of like, it's not that he had the idea, from what I understand, this is all conjecture. It's not that he learned about Jonestown and then was like, I got to make a movie, and then had to get the approval and then had to get the actors.
Right.
I think he had a cannibal movie coming up and was like, oh, let's add some Jonestown elements. I think he was already greenlit to do a...
like another Campbell type movie.
Right.
And then added this in for...
Potentially, yeah.
Contextualization.
This is not like a screenplay that had been sitting on the blacklist pile for 10 years and finally got greenlit. So that's another one I highly recommend. If you watch Green Inferno and you get to the end of the credits, Eli Roth put in his like 8 essentials. And so that's a lot of the ones we're talking about. But he also mentioned, so I'm free to mention, Emmanuel and The Last Cannibal. This is a straight up porno. I don't know any other way to tell you this. This is just straight up erotic movie that has tribal cannibals in it. Like it was, in fact, it's early. That was 1977. So that was before the popular, like it wasn't like, oh, everybody's doing a cannibal movie, we should.
You might want to wash your hands after
that. Yeah, no, this one, I mean, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. Eli Roth has talked about it several times. I recommend maybe watching some of his YouTube videos about it. It's a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. But no bones about it.
Oh, God.
It is just a straight up beaded curtain back room of the home video store. There it is. And there they are.
The so beaded curtain in the back.
You know that. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
No.
I mean, not really.
Okay. So we've got to keep this one tight today. We've talked about the ones that we liked. We've talked about the ones we don't like. We've talked about what we do like.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about the themes
right. That
have been in there. And one of the missing themes, I think, is cannibalism is the worst of the worst, right? And so I feel like cannibalism is just kind of a jokey trait, like we said, of some of these tribal people.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should really get into why, you know, is it just religious? Is it, you know, a conduit to evil? The cannibalism itself.
The actual...
is like a bigger thing. I think it's just kind of treated like, oh, hey, wouldn't it be...
Well, it's one of those things that's always been considered to be forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you start illustrating the forbidden, it always causes a lot of uncomfort, especially watching it, you know, like what's another movie that actually has treated another subject matter that's like, we don't really talk about?
So like The Exorcist.
Okay.
Right? Is...
Still bothers me to this day.
Right. Because...
of the religious implications.
The religious implications and how far and...
And also the fact that it's happening to a child.
Yes.
Because we talked about this just about an hour ago.
Yes. Joshua recommended, and so I'm going to compare these two. Joshua recommended The Innocence from Sweden or Switzerland.
Yeah.
So we're going to put it up on our list. But I said, you know, we talk about how uncomfortable cannibal Holocaust can make you with the animal cruelty and the... I like really hate watching innocent people being slaughtered en masse, right? Like it's like, geez, you know, the empathy. Makes me kind of uncomfortable, but it's still a fun movie. Whereas The Innocence has children in peril. I'll leave it at that. And I got really uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
but that was part of a horror movie, right? Like I watch Terrifier, Child's Play, and I'm like, okay, I see what you did. It was scary and
right.
You did all those things, but it's not like punching me.
But it goes back to the cannibalism thing because it's like this forbidden fruit that's now being illustrated and put on screen for everybody to see.
Right.
You know, because it hasn't been illustrated before, people naturally will get a little bit more like super antsy about
right.
it. So
right. So there's a power to it.
There is definitely a power to it. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
To me, that's the allure.
I'm not going to talk about a cannibal movie, but I'm going to talk about cannibalism in a movie.
Yeah.
One of the movies that came out way like before you were born, and I only remember it as a child, was the movie Alive. And that was the...
That's 94, 1995.
No, no,
I was
no.
Alive.
We're talking...
With Ethan Hawke?
No. This was the one about the Andean soccer players?
Yeah.
Okay, that...
Yeah.
Was that 94?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Pearl Jam Alive by Pearl Jam is in the trailer.
Oh, for God's sakes. There was another version that was done further on back. Somebody look it up real quick.
Ice Nine Kills has a song.
Yeah.
Well, there was a movie way back in the day that actually dealt with them eating their victims, and that created a big stir back.
It was like their mom, right?
Exactly.
Or somebody's mom.
Exactly. Right. Or Or it's the whole idea that we're gonna be gnawing on somebody's flesh just to survive.
Right.
And that freaked a lot of people out.
And there's
I mean, if you want to talk old.
Yeah, let's go.
Same time frame, Soylent Green.
What? Very true.
Right.
See, I like watching cannibal movies, but not tribal cannibal movies.
Okay.
I don't. I've seen Cannibal Holocaust and Green Inferno, and we watched
Amazonia.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm done.
Okay.
Right. I don't think there's a lot more. But when it comes to movies, I like it more on the individual level.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll watch a bunch of movies that deal with cannibalism on a person is experiencing it.
Right.
Right. Or a group of people like Sweeney Todd.
Right. Right?
Of course, that's unwittingly being the cannibal because they don't know that the meat pies.
It's the unknown.
Right. But Soylent Green is another one of those. Like people don't know, but that's
Soylent
how
Green.
You're surviving.
Yeah.
Right. A Boy and His Dog.
That's a good point, yeah.
I don't love that movie, but Don Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at...
Those are the cannibal movies I gravitate towards, are those versus the... I like exploitation films.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that the cannibal, you know, jungle ones do too much.
Okay.
Like there's exploitation films, there's like Nazi exploitation, right?
Right, right. Which
there's,
yeah, don't.
There's black exploitation.
Right.
There's women.
Oh, the sex exploitation.
The
future episode.
Yeah, there's all of these, but they like focus on one thing, right?
Right.
Whereas with the tribal ones, you're hitting a couple different things,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a little too much for.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I love those grindhouse pictures, right? Like, and we've watched Scum of the Earth, and like, you know, again, they hit a note, you know, like Grindhouse. If you've seen, if you liked Death Proof or Planet Terror, there's this whole world that those are paying homage to, and they feel great, right?
Yeah,
but it's not every single time,
right?
And so I love getting my hands dirty, if you will, with the cannibal movies, but I do like Ravenous.
Ravenous, another good one, Raw.
I don't know if I've seen Raw.
Raw is good because it's...
I've seen Raw, yeah.
I think it's like an all-female veterinarian college that's happening.
Okay.
And this girl is there, I think, with her sister. She's a vegetarian. But the other classmates feed her rabbit without her knowing.
Right.
And so... Not human, it's just a rabbit.
Right.
But she starts...
It's against your wishes.
It's against the wishes, and she starts...
Right.
Like, breaking out and having this reaction, but then she starts craving more and more to where it then evolves into.
Right.
So it... I like that because it's asking the question. Like, all the tribal ones, it's the... Who's the more savage, right?
Right.
We think we're...
So blah, blah, blah. Good.
Right. This one is... Why do we draw a line in what is okay to consume?
Right.
Right? Like rabbits, I don't eat rabbits, but rabbits and fish and sheep and cows, but not, you know, we turn our nose up at people doing dogs and horses or dolphins or cats or things like that. It's like, why is that line drawn?
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of explores that psychology behind, you know, consumption and stuff.
True. So
yeah,
I've picked up on this in literature, and I did some research to try to find specific examples, and all I could find was a debunking.
Okay.
But one of the themes I love about cannibalism is the reason why it's forbidden is because it tastes the best. And once you taste human, you wouldn't go back. And the downside is, well, then you have to kill people, right? Like, you can't just buy human meat. And there's examples, like there was I took an African literature class in college, and there's a story about a guy that was in a survival situation, had to eat his companion that had passed away, but then nothing else tasted good. It was an insatiable fever to keep eating human meat. And then I've got another story from my personal life where somebody that worked with my father, a lion ate his mother, This was in tribal Zaire. A lion ate his mom, and so he had to go, as tribal custom, go kill the lion. He had to lead the pack because it was his mom that was killed. And the tradition was you've got to kill that lion because once it's tasted human meat,
it's going to come back for more.
Same thing with like Jaws, right? Oh, Jaws is now a threat because...
Another movie from the 90s, Ghost in the Darkness?
I have not seen that one.
Okay, that's actually good about lions that actually get the taste for human beings and they keep on coming back for them. Good suggestion.
So I love that theme that it's... That's why people told you not to taste it. Because you'll love it. It goes back to the forbidden fruit. So in all my research about this, though, all I've found is no. Human meat's not the best. And I'm like, well, what's your source? And then, but they say there is no addictive quality to human meat. And they said if an animal eats a human, it's not that their taste buds are now forever destroyed and they have to get human. It's that they've learned...
That's yet
another source of meat. And so it's not their only meat source. So that has been debunked, but it's a theme. It's a humanity that you're breaking the ultimate law, but you're getting the ultimate reward, which is the tastiest meat you could ever have. Hmm. And so I love that, indulging in that theme.
I would say, I'll mention a movie that I know Paul will agree with.
What's this?
Delicatessen.
Oh my God. That's right. Oh, it's so good.
That's the guy that did Amelie.
Yeah, right. Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Delicatessen's freaking fantastic.
I need to indulge in that one.
That's another one where it's
feast down.
It's not. If I remember correctly, it's not. They're unwittingly eating. They're just kind of ignoring the fact. They're like, we're all kind of hungry. We're going to the butcher, and he's giving us this. We know what it is, but nobody's really saying.
Right.
What it is. It's kind of like the Soylent Green thing where it's society didn't know what it was, but I think, you know, it's the we know what it is, but we're not really going to talk about it. Let's just not talk about it and then it's not existing. But those are like the cannibal things I gravitate towards. So that's why I haven't seen like half of the.
Right. And you're okay. Some of these, like Eaten Alive, I would highly recommend, but we watched Amazonia and we've got a couple of clips. From us watching that, Green Inferno is if you like a modern
Green Inferno
movie,
is really I mean it's really good.
It's
really
very
good.
Well done. Yeah, I like
and Green I Inferno. Liked the twists that Amazonia did because it like I said I think it flips the genre on its head a little bit, and so I appreciated that a lot.
And if you don't have time to watch 8 cannibal movies
like some people,
and you got to prioritize, Amazonia is a great one to be like, well, you know what, I can't talk about those, but I can talk about Amazonia.
Yeah.
And like
that
was a great conversation to have.
Yeah, because it's really because of her growth.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 What makes it.
Right. But all the tropes are there. Violence, ridiculous amounts of shameless nudity, the jungle, you know, the good versus the bad. It's all there. You're not compromising any of that. So don't worry.
So I got a trivia question for you we're starting to wrap things up.
Yeah.
Do you know what is considered the first cannibal movie?
Ooh. So there's Mondo Cain,
which
started the found footage thing. And then my notes, I have Man from Deep River, Sacrifice.
No.
Okay.
You are off by about, what year did that come out?
That was 72.
You're off by about 50 years.
Really? So there's a 1922 cannibal movie?
Even more. The Enchanted Kiss, 1917.
Oof. Okay. I have not seen that one.
Silent in film. It's an O. Henry story. So you know there's a twist.
Right.
Right? So I've got a few old ones.
Okay.
To test you. So there's Enchanted Kiss, 1917.
Okay.
Which is crazy. Like, at the time, you were getting these, like, adventure films.
Right. Tarzan.
No, adventure films. Like, we went over to thing, and this is the footage we brought back.
Right,
where most of that's all staged.
Right.
Right.
1922, Jungle Goddess.
Okay.
It's a silent adventure film. It's implied. Cannibal threats.
I love implied.
Of course, 26 and 28, Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, yep.
Right.
And then what's known as one of the pinnacle ones for pre-code era is Dr. X.
Okay. I haven't seen that one
either. I haven't seen that one either.
Post-mortem cannibalism.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
And once again.
Considered one of the most, one of the boldest early depictions of it. So, and then the code came in.
Right.
And that pretty much killed cannibal movies. Until, who brought it back?
Like I said, my Umberto Lenzi with Man from Deep River is the earliest
one
I have.
TV show.
Oh, no, I don't.
Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock Presents had an episode where there was some cannibalism.
Right.
And then it kind of dipped away for a while until you started getting into the 60s.
Okay.
The late 50s, early 60s is when it started picking back up again. But yeah, there's this whole era of, so there were the cannibal tribal movies, but they were all these like real documentary, you know, where they would try to present them as actual academia.
Right. And
but they weren't.
Due to the Hays Code, I watched the sexploitation documentary with Frank and Henlotter, and there's all these movies, like National Geographic, we can get away with flesh on screen because it's a documentary.
Right, right.
Now, those always didn't have cannibalism as a part of it, but it was, let's shine a light and learn about tribal customs because they're all naked. So,
and that's what these were, except they were adding the cannibalistic part to be like, again, to set up that racial stereotype of see how we're so much more advanced and civilized and proper people. You know. So I just thought I'd something to chew on.
Something to chew on, something to masticate on.
Nice.
Think about.
Little finger foods of information.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to wrap this. This was a quick bite, a fast food one, if you will. We've got a comment section. We've got X and Instagram and Facebook. And we'd love to hear, what are your favorite cannibal movies? What don't you like about cannibal movies? What do you like? What are the ones we got to check out? What are the things that really give you the heebie-jeebies? And let's start talking about found footage. We'll do a future episode about found footage in the future. And don't forget to like and subscribe. And don't be like the cannibal that showed up late, because you'll just get the cold shoulder.
Oh my God. You seriously did that, didn't you?
What did the one cannibal say to the other when they were eating the clown?
This tastes funny.
Slash that like and subscribe button. And join us in the comment section below.